All right. Well, God bless America. This is our Freedom Sunday. We do every Sunday before the 4th of July. And before I invite up our special guest speaker today, I wanted to tell you about a cool opportunity tomorrow on the 4th at the Jackson County Courthouse at 11 o'clock. There's going to be a reading of the Declaration of Independence. So if you ever thought, well, what does that Declaration of Independence say? This is your opportunity to go hear it in person. You don't even have to read it. Someone is going to read it for you, which will be incredible. Some of you might find that educational. Others might find that motivational, inspirational. So please, if you're interested, check that out. I want to invite up our guest speaker. He has said that the best way to explain him coming is that this is Perry, apparently. Some people like him, some people don't like him, is what he said to me. And we're very excited to welcome from the Dove, Perry Atkinson. Let's give him a round of applause.
That's true.
Good morning. Like
thank you. Read some of my emails and you'll figure that out. Good morning. Happy almost 4th. I want to say that I'm really honored to be here today. It's always a joy to come and be here at Bethel. This is a great church, and I just want you to know that we at the Dove have been praying for you as you go through the process of a pastoral search or a search for a pastor. I can tell you that one who's kind of been through that drill in various capacities, on various occasions and capacities and with different ministries, I only have one word of advice. Just take your time. God has the right person, and it'll be evident when that happens. So we're praying for you. Hang in there. In fact, speaking of pray, let us pray. First of all, Lord, we want to say thank you for loving us today. Your word says that every good and perfect gift is from above and coming down from you. And we want to thank you for the gift of this beautiful place we call home, the Rogue Valley. We want to thank you for the gift of the recent rain. And we humbly ask for more, but if you could hold off the lightning, that'd be great. We thank you for the gift of freedom and liberty that we so enjoy as Americans. And pray for the protection and the safety of those in uniform who guard our freedoms and our liberties here at home and all over the world. And we thank you for first responders that run into danger while we run out from harm and into protection and safety. We want to thank you for those who responded to help so many to recover from the devastating fires in our valley. The faith community, this church, agencies, outside organizations, individuals, companies, what an encouraging display of true community. And we want to thank you for all public servants who set aside their personal lives to serve others. And we want to thank you for the gift of Oregon. What a beautiful state. And may we elect public servants that will protect our state's beauty while at the same time serve its citizens with common sense, integrity, and statesmanship, grow businesses, strengthen families, and advance traditional education that works best for all students. And we especially want to thank you for the gift of life, every life, even the life in the womb. And may we at all costs protect that life and only elect public servants who'll see that life as a sacred gift from you. And we say thank you, Father, for the gift of America. Deliver this great nation from all of its enemies. Deliver us from those who are trying to subvert our republic from within. And, oh God, please forgive us for our many sins, for turning our back on you, kicking you out of the classroom and the courtroom and the public square in our daily lives. We repent thinking that we can do things without you, thinking that we are smarter and our ways are better. We humbly ask that you bless America again. And may we become trustworthy students of the gifts once afforded to us by your graces, and guard our liberties and our freedoms with strength, wisdom, and favor that only comes from serving you. And finally, Father, thank you for the gift of your Son, who gave his life on the cross that whosoever turns from their sins and believes in him would have eternal life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, tomorrow, our beloved country will celebrate 246 years of independence, July 4th, 1776. It was 11 years later in September in 1787 that the Constitution was written. And it was 2 years after that point, in June of 1789, that the Constitution was ratified. A new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. And today we stand in awe, wondering if we are still one nation under God, indivisible, and justice for all. What happened to us? Psalm 11 says, when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? And let me just say to all of us, in spite of the news trying to convince us otherwise, something good is happening in America. And we need not only to celebrate it, but we need to be willing to commit ourselves to protect it. God is hearing our prayers, and God is moving, and things are happening. In 1 week, the United States Supreme Court released some amazing decisions. School choice and vouchers are back on the table. The Second Amendment was strengthened in New York, of all places. Not weakened, but strengthened. And Roe versus Wade, after 49 years and 63 million babies that never got to breathe a breath or see the light of day, that decision is overturned, and prayer was allowed back on public school property as a man can go and pray. There's an old saying that you don't break God's laws break you. Covenant keepers win, covenant breakers lose. And I'm sure that everyone in this room has an opinion about everything in the news. And I am sure that everyone in this room has an opinion about everyone that is in the news. And I'm sure that every one of you, when you get together, you let your opinions be known. Did you ever think that America would be so divided, so polarized, and so critical, even of the things that we hold sacred? Now, I don't know if you're taking notes today, but I'm going to ask you three questions that I hope that you will write down and ask yourself over the coming days. Question number one, do you know what you believe? Do you know what you believe? Do you know why you believe it? And can you defend it gracefully? Now, I suggest that if your life would allow it and you could afford it, there are two tours you ought to do. One, I highly recommend that if you ever can, go to Israel. It's life-changing. You should go to walk the places that Jesus walked, to sit on the Mount of Olives, to visit the tomb, go to Golgotha, go to the various places. It's life-changing. I've only been there once. I wasn't on the ground a day, and I realized the conflict between the Israelis and the Arabs and everybody else, and I thought, there's no way there'll ever be peace until Jesus comes. And then the other tour that I highly, highly recommend that if you can take is the Christian History Tour of the United States. There are several organizations that offer these tours. Our good friend Marshall Foster from the World History Foundation offers one, and David Barton offers one. And you start down in Yorktown, and you work your way up through Williamsburg, over to Monticello, into Washington, D.C. You should hold a service in the original Supreme Court below, in the bottom of the basement in the Capitol. And eventually you will work your way up to Plymouth Rock. It's an amazing thing to take in. And then there's another place while you're up there that very few people go to. Why? It's kind of forgotten. And it's in a neighborhood, of all places, in Plymouth, Massachusetts. It's called the Monument of Our Forefathers. I think we have a picture there. The Monument of Our Forefathers. Thought to be the largest solid granite monument in the United States. It's 81 feet tall. Was built to honor the passengers of the Mayflower. Boston sculptor Hammett Billings designed the monument, which features an allegorical figures depicting the virtues of faith, morality, education, law, and liberty. The concept of the monument was found, it was actually conceived in 1820. It was completed in 1888 and was dedicated with an appropriate ceremony on August 1st of 1889. If I was president for a day, I would declare August 1st, 1889, as another national holiday. And I'll tell you why. The original design of this monument was nearly twice as tall. It was supposed to be 150 feet, just 1 foot under the Statue of Liberty. The main pedestal stands on a heroic figure on top of that main pedestal named Faith. It's a woman. And if you look at that monument, with her right hand, she's pointing towards heaven. And in her left hand, she's holding the Bible. And upon the four buttresses also are seated figures emblematic of the principles upon which the pilgrims founded their commonwealth. It's an amazing thing to go see. Morality, law, education, and liberty. Each was carved from a solid block of granite posed in a sitting position upon chairs with high relief on either side that mirrored minor characteristics. Under morality stands two people, the prophet and the evangelist. Under law stands justice and mercy. Under education, youth and wisdom. And under liberty, tyranny overthrown, and peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. On the face of these buttresses and beneath these figures, on these high relief in marble, representing scenes from the pilgrim's history. Under morality is embarkation. Under law is treaty. Under education is compact, and under freedom is landing. And upon the four faces of the main pedestal are large panels for the records. And the front panel is inscribed, "The National Monument of Our Forefathers, erected by a grateful people in remembrance of their labors, their sacrifices, their sufferings for the cause of civil and religious liberty." The right and the left panels contain the names of those who came over on the Mayflower. And on the rear panel, which was not engraved until just recently, contains the quotation of Governor William Bradford, the famous history of the Plymouth Plantation. And here's what it reads. "Thus, out of the small beginnings, greater things have been produced by his hand that made all things of nothing and gives being to all things that are. And as one small candle may light a thousand, so the light here kindles has shone unto many, yea, in some sort to our whole nation. Let the glorious name of Jehovah above all be praised. Psalm 33 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. We are a blessed people. And for the very virtues that this country was founded on are the very virtues that can save this country from going over the edge if we will practice them. Proverbs 14 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The five founding virtues of our forefathers: faith, morality, education, law, and liberty. These are the virtues that our country was founded upon. And these same virtues will be the very thing that saves America if we will just practice them. I want to ask you a question. Do you know what all five of these virtues have in common? They are all being destroyed from within. Whoever thought that we'd see this happen? Until now, we thought such attacks were just wild conspiracies too far out forever to be true. In many ways, we have been morally and socially violated. Our innocence taken away. As a country, we are experiencing what would be called a PTSD moment, and we seem to be going through the emotional stages of such an event. Shock and awe. Bargaining. Coulda, shoulda, woulda, if we had only, had we just. Anger. Have you ever seen such anger in our country? Depression. An amazing emotion that is very, very real. And we keep cycling through these emotions, maybe hourly, maybe weekly, daily. But we all seem to be cycling through this. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, first of all, there's plenty of anger. Have you noticed? There's plenty of anger. And it's really a time that we, believers, take responsibility. I want to say this respectfully, but we are part of the problem. How do I know that? We just came through an election cycle. The best we could do in this state was 37%. This has been slowly growing. I gave to you the five virtues: faith, morality, education, liberty, freedom. And those pillars are foundations, not only under attack, there's no question about that. But there are five other elements or institutions in our culture that have played into the destroying of these. It's hard to believe. Let me give them to you. Number one, the media. Can you trust it? Do you trust it? And before you complain about one network versus the other, I'm in this business. And I can tell you something. People go to where they want to go to hear what they want to hear. So you can blame this channel while these people are listening to this channel and never pay any attention to what they're listening to on this channel, and these people aren't paying attention to what they're listening on that channel. You end up going to where you want to go. But can you trust it, and do you trust it? The answer is no, we don't. Why? We've gone from journalism to nothing more than pushing an agenda. Entertainment is the other institution. the filth that we're passing off as entertainment is just amazing. And one of the saddest things is Hallmark is now woke. Hate to break your hearts, lady, but Hallmark is now woke. It's very disappointing. Education, the other institution, we seem to be overwhelmed with the fact that kids need to know everything about sex before they get out of kindergarten. What's happened to us? What's happened to our greater institutions that literally have an agenda? And then the other institution is politics, the division, the polarization. There was a day that you looked at politics as an art of compromise, where you actually worked something out and moved the ball forward for what was best for the people, not the individual. And then the other one is, the other institution that is now working against it is corporate America. Whoever thought Coca-Cola, Disney, Alaska Airlines, Dick's Sporting Goods, JP Morgan, and YouTube, just to mention a few, have decided that they are the arbiters of all truth. And they're into it. They're willing to put their reputation on the line for some of this stuff. The Dove was the first television radio network in the United States to be permanently canceled from YouTube because they didn't like what we were saying. And what we were saying is exactly what the other networks were saying on the same day with the same topic, but they picked us. We've been permanently canceled. And in that process, they took 15,680 of our videos with them. Corporate America. Psalm 11 makes a statement and asks a question. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can we do? And what should we do? Well, let me go back to the questions I asked you. Do you know what you believe? Do you know why you believe it? And can you gracefully defend it? I have to tell you, folks, I have never seen a hunger for truth like we're seeing today in America. I suppose right here I could stop and quote a lot of our forefathers and presidents and people that have great Americans about some of the things they've said about America, and they're all wonderful, and they all should be quoted. But today, the future of the United States is in our hands, and what we do next is critical. And what I mean by our hands are those of us who believed the same way our forefathers believed and gave it up all to see that we could sit here in this building today and worship. Plenty of blame going around, plenty of finger pointing. Certainly there's plenty of anger and cynicism that's going around. And please be careful about being cynical. Cynicism is the cancer that destroys a culture. Cynicism will erase God from your mind if you let it. Get into the Word and let the Word get into you. At the Dove, we are experiencing an outcry of questions like I have never believed. I've been at this a long time. I have never seen the response to programming the way we're getting it today. People are asking some very basic questions. Is there a God? Does he really love me? Is there a heaven? Is there an afterlife? What is life all about? Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? Some very basic questions people are asking. We're averaging about 130,000 digital hits a month from all over the world because people are scared. Before COVID broke out, the number one emotion in America was loneliness. Can you imagine that? We all have cell phones in our hands and we got all these gadgets and digital connection. And yet people were lonely. 4 months after COVID broke out, through today, the number one emotion in America is fear. People are afraid. Folks, I got to tell you, We are sitting on an opportunity to win people to Christ unlike anything I've ever seen or witnessed in my life. The prayer requests that come into our station is amazing. And the number one category of prayer request has to do with relationships. How to get along with this person, my husband, my wife, my children, my uncle, my aunt. The number one prayer request is people realize that the number one thing they need in life is relationships, and it's not working, and they're asking for help. Number two is healing. I wish you could read some of the things that people are going through. It will rip your heart out. Some of the things that people are going through, not only with mental health, but physical problems. It is amazing. Third is finances. And then fourth, they're worried about the future. Now, folks, you can go to church all your life and you can hear sermons. You can go to seminars. You can read books, and they're all great. But at the end of the day, there's only two things that you will make you change. Either inspiration or desperation. You're either going to be inspired or you're going to be desperate. And I want to be honest with you. I'll guarantee you, every one of you sitting in this room right now is struggling with something deep in your soul. And you need an answer to it. You're hurting. You've done a good job of covering it up, but you're hurting. And it's highly possible that I read your prayer request when it was sent to the Dove. We get them so much at the Dove that I've told my staff that we immediately send them to the staff, and they are to stop when they get that email and pray right there. Don't let them build up. Stop right there and pray then. That's how often these things are coming about. So what do we do? When the foundations are being destroyed, what do we do? Well, let me say this. If you can get healed, our country will get healed. The world is looking for answers, basic questions. People are wanting Christianity to be true. And people are looking for authentic Christianity. The best witness is your own life. We can heal America by being true Christians, by being people knowing that we love each other and they see us loving one another and taking care of one another and helping one another. Acts 1:8 says this, and I want to say it carefully because this is an Assembly of God church, and you're welcome to say amen to this. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Well, hallelujah. Did you get the word in there? You should receive power when? When the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Can I get an amen to that? Okay, now think about this. What for? To be a witness. Where? First, Jerusalem. Now, why is it put into this sequence? Jerusalem is home. Home. Judea is the state. Samaria is the country. And then you go to the othermost parts of the world. So, if your ministry doesn't work at home, don't export it. The first place of any person's ministry is to be tested in their home and in this church. And I have to tell you, we're living in a time now where people are wanting to see if Christianity is real. And if it's real in your life, believe me, they will be drawn to you and you'll be able to minister to them. And that will heal a country. The world is wanting us to return to faith. The world is looking for somebody to lead with morality. The world is wanting us to return to the rule of law. And the world really does want true education. Thank God for parents who are going to school board meetings and standing up. And saying enough is enough. And we dearly do need to protect our liberty and freedom. The reason our forefathers came and did what they want is because they wanted to worship Jesus Christ the way they felt they should do without the dictates of a tyrannical king. Now, it's possible that we're all caught up in the anger and the division. It's possible that we are so upset that we can't even have conversations with people that we want. I want to ask you something. Are you willing to lose the conversation to protect the relationship? Are you willing to just let it go in order to retain the relationship? We are so ratcheted up that the moment we come across somebody that disagrees with us, if you're not careful, that turns to hate. Why would you hate somebody that disagrees with you and yet pay a missionary group to go into a prison to save somebody on death row that killed somebody else because that soul had value and the person that you disagree with you hate? We can't do this, folks. We can't do this. The church wants to know, the world wants to know if the church really is real. Do we really love one another? Do we really care for one another? Are we really willing to go the extra mile? Are you really willing to set aside the argument to save the relationship? 2 Corinthians, Paul ran into this in his day, the Apostle Paul, and he writes in Corinthians, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Folks, we shouldn't be in the middle of all of this stuff, casting aspersions on other human beings that Jesus died for. We should be winning them and loving them and serving them and taking care of them because they are hurting just like you. They have the same things that we got going. Can we step back from these fruitless arguments and be willing to lose the argument in order to protect the relationship? Start serving people where they are, and all of a sudden, this church will be filled with people. Not because we want a lot of people in a big church, because this is where God's house is and people come and they're healed and they're taken care of and they're loved because they see it in your life. Most of the people that we are up against are nothing more than broken children that need help. I've interviewed them. I've talked to them. I have talked to people that are in lifestyles that you would certainly not agree with. And when you're patient and you talk, you hear something. They're broken. They're hurting. They need love. Are you going to give it to them? Start by serving one another. The golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Bible says, overcome evil with good. Could we have a revival of goodness and kindness? And everyone who opposes you, understand they're hurting and they need to hear a love from you. I came across a book, and I will close with this. This book just came out. Tony Evans, you know who he is? Oh, yeah. I've had the chance of meeting him several occasions. I've heard him preach a lot. Boy, this guy's... And you talk about a guy that's gone through the storm. He lost his wife, his dad, his sister, almost lost his daughter, all within a year's time. And he's still preaching. And I don't do this very often, and forgive me for doing it here, but I recommend this book because it deals with one subject that's under attack today, and you need to understand it. The foundations of truth. What is truth? The Bible says if you know it, it sets you free. But what truth? Do you realize we're living in a time where everything now seemingly is a lie that's being propagated as the truth? So I would recommend the book for that. But here's how he ends the book. A kindness challenge. The atmosphere is in our contemporary culture has become contaminated and saturated with hatred, racism, crime, meanness, disrespect, and a myriad of other expressions of insensitivity and vitriol. We are in desperate need of a moment of kind like wildfire across the land to reclaim civility necessary for us to have a peaceful, friendly environment in which to live, work, raise our kids, and bring stability in a nation of decline. Therefore, our national ministry, which is his national ministry, the Urban Development Alternative, has launched a national campaign called Kindness in the Culture. It is a simple Christian initiative that can be implemented by any individual, family, church, or civic organization. You simply take an act of kindness card and seek to do some deed of kindness each week for a friend, neighbor, coworker, stranger who has a need. This can include buying a meal for a homeless person, helping an elderly person across the street, babysitting a couple that needs to have a night out, confronting a distraught neighbor, and countless other ways to help out others who are hurting. The key to the initiative is that the act of kindness is to be accompanied by praying with the person you assist regarding their intimate needs and their well-being and ongoing to be well spiritually developed as a friend and a person. And then he goes on to say, by doing this act of good work, because you ask God to be in it, it becomes his work. What's the message today? Our message is that we were founded by a group of people who were led by God to give up everything, to come to a land that they knew nothing about and build a nation on morality, on freedom, on faith, on sacredness, on education, and on law and liberty. It's the same virtues that will save America today if the world can see it in us. I want to encourage you today when you're having your hot dog out there, I want you to lean over to somebody and I want you to ask them this: what three things can I pray for you this week? Write them down and then next Sunday ask how they're doing. If this Jerusalem right here becomes healthy, it will start a fire in Southern Oregon unlike anything we've seen. And then the state will become healthy. Then the nation will become healthy. If you're healthy. Let us pray as the musicians come up. Lord, today thank you for your goodness and your love and your mercy and your kindness. And we know today as we begin to celebrate the goodness of this nation, we also know that it's a very fragile time in history, unlike anything we ever thought or expected. And so I'm asking today that you put in each one of our hearts a real burden for each other. And the ones who are hurting, let them share that hurt with somebody else. And their hurt with them. And let the healing begin to take place. We need each other as we seek you. And we thank you for this great land we call America. And we ask you, God, for your mercy and that you would bless America again. And bless America through us loving one another and being kind to one another. In Jesus' name, amen.